For our call to worship this morning, we'll be continuing our meditations upon the attributes of God, and this morning we come to the attribute of God's love, that God is love. I think if you were to ask any random person on the street what's one attribute of God, or if you simply said God is and left it up to them to answer, they would probably say that God is love. Certainly, that God is love is one of the most famous scripture passages in the world today. But God's love is often misunderstood and distorted by the culture in which we live. Many people believe that God's love signifies that he tolerates their sin or that he accepts everyone just as they are. And while it is true that God does not mete out the just punishment for our sins immediately, so in a sense tolerates them for a time, and does accept sinners who repent without them first amending their life and removing all their sins out of their lives, there's more to God's love than that. There's a certain special love that God has only for some people and not for all people. I'm greatly indebted this morning to the work of Francis Turretin, who's a 17th century theologian, in his Institutes of Eclectic Theology, which I recommend to everyone, and I believe our pastors would as well. This work of theology is very revered by all of our those who fully subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith. So it's important to remember he teaches infant baptism and some differences in covenant theology from what we would believe. But on the whole, he provides a very robust explanation of Reformed doctrine. And his section here on the love of God is so good that I'm basically just using it as my own outline. What he describes, that love of God that most people think about, that God just loves everyone and he accepts everyone, only goes so far. And it really applies to the love that God has for all the creatures that he has made. Because God created all things, of course, he loves all things and upholds all things by the word of his power. And he has a special and particular love for mankind, most clearly demonstrated by us being created in his image. But there's a special love which is only for God's elect, only for those who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. And this love has traditionally been understood in three facets, and I want us to meditate on this morning for the edification of our souls. This threefold love of God for us has been described in this way: the love of benevolence, the love of beneficence, and the love of complacency. So let's think on these three things. First, the love of benevolence. This refers to the love with which God loved us before the foundation of the world, the love with which God loved the elect before anything was ever made. What Turretin says is that John 3:16, God so loved the world, refers to this sort of love. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is, this is a love that God has for the elect before they're even converted. In fact, before they even have begun to exist. It's a love that he set upon them before the foundation of the world. The second, the love of beneficence, has to do with the love that motivated God to send his Son and for God the Son to actually die for us. Turretin says that Ephesians 5:25 and Revelation 1, verse 5, refer to this love. Ephesians 5:25 says this: "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." So this is the love for which Christ sacrificed his life to save the church. And then Revelation 1:5, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." So this love of beneficence, refers most particularly to the love which the Son showed to us in the history of redemption by becoming a man, laying down his life upon the cross, and rising from the dead. Thirdly, There's the love of complacency. And this doesn't have the same connotation that complacency has today, where it's sort of like apathetic or something like that. This is an older use of the word complacency, where it's God's love for us because of his image and his attributes being reflected back to him through the graces that we've received. Isaiah 62, verse 3 refers to this. The scripture says, "You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of God." Isaiah pictures God's redeemed people as a jewel in God's possession, or a crown of glory in his hand. In another place, more familiar, Hebrews 11, verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So this is that love of God which motivates him to reward us for the good works that we perform in Christ, and that happens because of the graces we've received from him that we reflect back to him. Now, each of these, as you can see, the love that God had for us before the foundation of the world that caused him to plan to send his son, the son actually coming down in love and becoming a man, dying upon the cross, and then the Holy Spirit working graces within us and creating those things within us which lead to the heavenly rewards that we will receive. This threefold love of God almost follows the pattern of the work of the Trinity through redemption. And so this love of God is interwoven throughout every part of our redemption. Now, what's the use of this? Why is it good for us to understand these distinctions within the love of God? Well, I think there's four things which commend the love of God toward us. And these, again, are from Francis Turretin. First is the majesty of the lover. God, the God who loves us, is a God who existed before the foundation of the world so that he set his love upon us before anything was created. He is the God who came down from heaven and was made man, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered upon the cross and rose from the dead. And he is the God who even now in this service, this very morning, is working within us to work graces and conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the poverty and unworthiness of the ones loved. The greatness of God's love is shown in those upon whom he set his love, which were not worthy of his love, which had nothing in themselves which was lovely. Nevertheless, God freely has shown his love to us by giving us his son. Third, the worth of him in whom we are loved. That is, the worth of Jesus Christ, the cause of God's love for us, and the one who was sacrificed in love for us. It's not as if God made a sacrifice that was not costly for him. That was some trivial thing that didn't really matter that much to God, and so he gave it up, and that way he could redeem us. In a sense, if we can say it this way, he gave up that which would be most important. He gave his own self to us to be crucified upon the cross and raised from the dead. And fourthly, the multitude and the excellence of the gifts which flow out from God's love to us. All the graces of the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the virtues which we are granted through the Holy Spirit. All of our brothers and sisters in the church, the resurrection from the dead, the great eternal life and communion with God, which we will one day enjoy in full. All of these things flow from this love which God has for us. So brothers and sisters, think upon the great love which God has shown to us in Jesus Christ this morning as we raise our voices and worship him. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for drawing us together this day, for preserving us this week in safety, that we might be able to join here together and worship your holy name. We thank you for the great love which you've shown us that makes it possible even for us to draw near to you in worship this day and to have an expectation to receive a blessing from you this day. Lord, be with us. Magnify yourself in our sight and fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might offer a sacrifice of praise full of faith and love, with fervent prayers and fervent praises, through Jesus Christ. Amen.